Hello, everyone. Kenzie here. We're doing something a little bit different for the podcast today. Something we haven't done before, something that we've been thinking about doing. It's going to be part of our Press Pause series of shows that we have, but it's not going to be a Let's Chat. I don't know what the name is because this show is still in development and I have, for this specific thing, rushed it a bit. So TBA on the name of this. I feel like this is going to be edited like a 2012 YouTube video. I feel like that's going to be the vibes of this. But I am going to be here running through a playtest today. I have never done a playtest before. Technically, I playtested Monster Hearts before we did season one, but that was a playtest to make sure I knew how to run the game, not for the game itself, because that game had been out for quite a bit of time by that point. But I am going to be doing an official playtest today, and this is specifically the character creation of the new game Daggerheart by Darrington Press. Now, this game is going to be publicly open to playtesting on the 12th, which is when this will be released, but I thought I'd get a little head start on it and do a fun little episode of character creation with some new rules and some new classes and subclasses and archetypes and all that type of stuff. So it's just going to be me here today chatting and learning how to create a character using Daggerheart. First of all, I don't have the full rule book. I have all the character stuff that they've given out for this playtest, how to create a character, and then like a small one-page guide of some of the other rules of the game. But this is very much bare bones. I'm just working with what I got here. And the first thing I've noticed is that this seems to be trying to make D&D simplified in a sense. You still have classes, you have subclasses, you have heritages, which, you know, different than in D&D. There's a couple things that make up a heritage, which we'll get into. But you know, a lot of these classes and stuff are going to be familiar to you, but the stats that come with them are set up quite differently. So don't come into this, I suppose, with a D&D mindset, but I think it should be acknowledged that it seems to be how can we improve upon a game, or at least if it's not directly how can we improve D&D, it's how can we create our version of a high fantasy TTRPG. Yeah, but you know, if you're coming to this from knowing D&D, you'll notice similarities and you'll notice things that have changed, and you can make your own assumptions off of, you know, about why they have changed. This is not going to be a review of this game. I'm simply going to have fun making a little character and telling you guys, you know, what the creation process is like. So there are 14 steps to this character creation process. We're going to skip 14 because number 14 is create connections. And I'm doing this here by myself today. So I don't have other players or other people who have created characters to do this with. So that is going to be important if you're making a Daggerheart game and you're making a party for this game. So number one, this isn't going to be super helpful, but I am going to put some of the, you know, cards up so you can read them as I'm reading them. And the art on these are beautiful. And the reason I'm not going to hold up the actual cards that I have printed out is because I can promise you that my printer did not do this art justice. So I'd prefer you to see just, you know, a screenshot of the image I was sent. But without further ado, I don't even know what I'm going to do today. We're going to figure it out. So the first step is to choose a class. So the classes in this game are Bard, Druid, Guardian, Ranger, Rogue, Seraph. I think that's how it's pronounced. Not 100% sure. Sorcerer, Warrior, and Wizard. And because I am who I am partial to Rangers. So we're going to be doing Rangers today. Step one of the character creation, complete. Alrighty. So I've got the Ranger page here. It comes with both a character sheet, a character guide, and depending on which subclass you take, there is a Ranger companion sheet here as well. So the second part of this character creation is choosing a subclass. Each class comes with two subclasses. for the ranger, that is Wayfinder or Beastbound. For Wayfinder, your spellcasting is agility-based, and you have two separate mechanics here. You have Apex Predator, which is mark a stress to increase your proficiency by +1 when rolling damage. When you deal damage to an enemy, you can never hit below their minor threshold. And the second one is Path Forward. When you're headed for a place you've previously visited, or you carry an object with you that has been there before, you can identify the shortest, most direct path to your destination. And the second one is Beastbound. Spellcast is also agility for this. And this is a little bit different. You don't necessarily have mechanics or features based off this subclass because you have an animal companion. So you have an animal companion of your choice at your GM's discretion. Take the ranger companion sheet, and whenever you level up your character, also choose a level up option for your companion from this sheet. Which I think is, you know, we all want to have animals with us by our sides, fighting amongst us. And specifically in D&D, the beast companion for the ranger, that is not the greatest subclass. So I'm not sure, since I'm not playing the game through, if this is going to work a lot better. But, you know, I think because I like having animal companions, we're going to take the Beastbound subclass. The next step in character creation is choosing a heritage. Heritage is made up of both an ancestry and a community card. These two cards establish your physical appearance and the kind of environment you grew up in. So there's a bunch of different community cards here. We've got Highborn, Loreborn, Orderborn, Ridgeborn, Seaborn. There's a common thread here. Slyborn, Underborn, Wanderborn, or Wildborn. I think since we're a little ranger guy, there's a couple here that I would personally, if I was trying to create the, you know, stereotypical ranger character, would choose. And I would say those would be Ridgeborn, which is a community that would be coming from the rocky peaks and dangerous cliffs of a mountainside home. Wanderborn. Being part of a Wanderborn community means that you were raised as a nomad, never having a permanent home, but experiencing a wide variety of cultures. Or Wildborn. Being part of a Wildborn community means you were raised by a clan deep within the forest. And because my first D&D character was a ranger elven princess who came from a isolated elven kingdom within a forest, I'm going to go with Wildborn. Has absolutely nothing to do with that show, Shannara Chronicles, at all. Don't even at me about that. You have a trait from your community, which is Lightfoot. Your movement is naturally silent. Take advantage on any action rolls you make to move without being heard. Spend a hope to also grant this ability to an ally in very close range of you. And, as I said, I don't have the full rules, so I don't 100% know what a hope is. But I'm sure we'll find out someday. So, I've got a Beastbound Ranger with from a Wildborn community, and now it's ancestry time. So there are ancestries in this deck that are very familiar to many of us. They come from a range of, you know, fairy tale type of creatures, mythological type of creatures, a Clank, a Daemon, a Dracona, a Dwarf, an Elf, a Fairy, a Fawn, a Firbolg, a Fungrill, a Galapa, a Giant, a Goblin, a Halfling, and a Human, a Katari, an Orc, Ribbit, which is cute and fun, it's a little frog dude, or a Samia or Samaya, which is a monkey. I think for my purposes, I am going to pull out an Elf card here. I'm going to pull out the Fawn card. And I'm going to pull out the Katari card. You can always get me with a cat. So, for the elf, this card says, elves are typically tall humanoids with pointed ears and acutely attuned senses. And they have the mechanic of celestial trance. During a long rest, as one of your actions, you may choose to drop into an elven trance. When you do, roll a number of d8 equal to the stress you have marked and clear all stress. If any of these dice have a matching value, also clear all hit points. I love stress mechanics, and I'm super excited to find out exactly what this one is. We have the Fawn. Those of Fawn ancestry resemble goats in humanoid form with curving horns, square pupils, and cloven hooves. And their mechanic is Headbutt. Give the GM one fear to headbutt an enemy you move into melee with. The target immediately takes D8 direct physical damage and can't be targeted again by this attack during the fight. And last but not least, the Qatari. Those of Qatari ancestry are feline humanoids most easily recognized by their soft fur and triangular ears. They have the mechanic Feline Instincts. On any agility rolls, you may mark a stress to reroll your hope die. If you do, take the new result instead. And because my cat is being annoying right now, I'm going to choose the Qatari. Also, something I've noticed in this game is that it seems like players give the GM the ability to do things, which is like super fun, and I'm excited to see exactly how that plays out. So what we're going to deal with today is a wildborn Qatari who is a beastbound ranger. The next part of this process is to set your traits and evasion. Now, on the character guide sheet for rangers, it gives you a list of suggested traits. And the traits we have in this game are agility, strength, finesse, instinct, presence, and knowledge. And then underneath those specific tasks or specific traits, I mean, they give you some like ideas of what those things could cover. So for agility, sprint, leap, maneuver. For strength, lift, smash, grapple. For finesse, control, hide, tinker. For instinct, perceive, sense, navigate. For presence, charm, perform, deceive. And for knowledge, recall, analyze, comprehend. And the suggested traits, which is what we're going to use, are +2 to agility, +0 to strength, +1 to finesse, +1 to instinct, -1 to presence, and 0 to knowledge. So one thing I'm not clear about are evasion scores. You start at 10 for evasion, but I'm sure there's like a mechanic you can add or subtract from that. I'm not sure which one it is, and I can't find a rule on what I've been given that points that out. So I'm just going to put 10 for now. Also on your character sheet, you have hit points and stress. And so you have to set your thresholds. So you start with 4 minor for a ranger, 9 major, and 14 severe. And also, you start out with 2 hope points. So before, I said I wasn't exactly sure what the hope was. And on the character sheet, it says you spend hope to use an experience or help an ally. The next thing you have to do is choose your starting weapon, which for rangers, it suggests that your starting weapon is a short bow. I don't know if I want that, though. I don't know. What about a longbow? What about a quarterstaff? What about a dagger? So, I'm going to go over to the equipment page here and see what they got. They do indeed have a longbow. It does say, though, longbow is cumbersome to evasion. You get a -1 if you were to take a longbow. So, with my 10 here, I'm not sure that's worth it. I suppose a shortbow will have to do. You use the agility trait to shoot a shortbow. The range is far, and the damage is D8 +2, and it's physical damage. It also looks to be a two-handed weapon. There's a little burden tally, and they've got little hands, and it says two hands. So I'm assuming that means you have to have two hands to hold it. So we will start out with our primary weapon as a shortbow. The next step is choosing your starting armor. So again, on the ranger guide, it says that the suggested starting armor for a ranger is leather armor, which would make your armor score 3, and it's light, so you get a +1 to evasion. And I'm not even going to look at the armor list I got, because that is exactly what I'm going to use. And then we get the things. So you get your starting inventory. Each class has their own inventory on their character guide. For rangers, you take a torch, 50 foot of rope, basic supplies, and a handful of gold. Then you get to choose between a health potion, which heals 1d4 hit points, or a stamina potion, which clears 1d4 stress. And I'm actually going to take that stamina potion for this character. And then you get either a trophy from your first kill, or a seemingly broken compass. And I'm going to take that seemingly broken compass because as a DM, I would make that some like magic shit for my ranger character or my ranger player and bring that into play later on.
Hey, is anyone else out there obsessed with dice? Does anyone out there want to join the I have too many dice sets for my own good club? Or is this going to be a party of one? because I would be the first to tell you that I have a dice problem. But I don't necessarily think that's the worst problem to have. So if you've got the same mindset, Queer PG has a fun little offer for you. If you head over to fanrolldice.com, you can use our code QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. They've got gemstone dice, my personal favorite. They've got wooden dice, they've got metal dice, and a whole bunch of other designs and accessories to fit all of your dice gremlin needs. So, if you find you're itching for something new to add to your collection, head on over to fanrolldice.com and remember, QueerPG10, that's QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off. Have fun rolling!
The mists roll across the valley over the bodies of hundreds of dead as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal.
Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button. Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you get to, you know, figure out your character description, which maybe you've already done. Maybe you do that before you do the statting of your character. I'm simply following the rules of this playtest. So on the ranger sheet, they give you a list of character descriptions, or you can completely ignore them. But I think sometimes they're fun to follow. So we're going to say, I'm a Katari who lives in the woods or grew up in the woods. So I think that my clothes are not necessarily like natural things, they're fabrics, but definitely muted and, probably of a tactical nature. You know, I'm wearing armor, so I've got some mechanic interest in being able to fight or defend myself. Eyes like, and then there's a bunch of lists here, and you know what? I'm gonna go opposite. Eyes like an endless ocean. Body that's 100% lanky. My character is one of those people that you think is gonna be a bit clumsy, but is actually like super agile. So, you know, they trip, but then catch themselves, do a wonderful somersault, and come up, you know, barely scarred on the other side. And I think I want the fur of my Katari character here to be, I think I want it to be like rose colored, but like a little bit more pink, which, you know, isn't good for sneaking around the woods, but maybe it's a wood
woods filled with rose petals. I don't know. Or cherry blossom trees. And attitude. I don't like any of the ones on here. So I think like cocky, but not actually cocky. Like that's the immediate vibe you'd get. But in reality, they're just kind of like an outgoing free spirit. So not a negative or rude type of cocky. The next step is domain deck cards. So there are a bunch of different domains, but each class has two listed under their class name on the character sheet. So for Ranger, it's Bone and Sage. The Bone domain has three maneuvers or abilities. The first one is called Deaf Maneuvers. You can spend a hope to move anywhere within far range without making an agility roll to get there. The second one is Nimble. While this card is in your loadout, add your agility score to your evasion. And there's a third ability that is called I See It Coming. When you are targeted by a ranged attack, mark a stress to roll your hope die and increase your evasion against this attack by its value. And then we've got the Sage cards. The first ability here is Nature's Tongue. You can speak the language of the hidden natural world. When you want to speak to the plants and animals around you, make an instinct roll of 12. On a success, I think that's what that means. 12 is in parentheses. On a success, they'll give you the information they know. With fear, their knowledge might be limited or come at a cost. In addition, whenever you make a spellcast roll while within a natural environment, you may spend a hope before the roll to add +1 to the result. And then we've got Gifted Tracker. Make a spellcast roll to track or ask the GM one question you'd be able to learn about a specific creature or group of creatures based on signs of their passage. If you spend hope before the roll, you can double your spellcast trait as the modifier. If you encounter any creatures you've tracked, your evasion against them is +2. And then we've got a little new one here, which is a spell. Vicious Entangle. Make a spellcast roll against a target within far range. On one a success? Look, it's not done. They gotta do some spell check. On a success, roots and vines reach out from the ground and temporarily restrain them, dealing 1d8 physical damage. On a success, you may also spend a hope to temporarily restrain any enemies very close to your target. What's interesting is, again, not having all the rules, I'm making an assumption here, I think this is also kind of a deck-based game, because it says you choose two cards from the level one cards in those domains from the domain decks. You may share these decks with other classes, which is true. If you do, make sure to talk with them about what cards they're interested in. So I'm not sure you're allowed to take an ability somebody else has taken. It seems like you have these decks for the whole table. I think I'm going to take Gifted Tracker. And yeah, I'll take I See It Coming. And then step number 11 is answering background questions. So most of the times when I make characters, I kind of start in background and I write out like where I want my character to come from and all of that before I get into the mechanics. And then I have the mechanics kind of influence that or mirror that. So I'm kind of doing my usual character creation backwards for this specific little rundown of this game. I'm going to answer the specific ones they list here. I'm sure you don't have to, but I think, you know, we'll see what these ones are and see if they help us at all. So number one is a terrible creature hurt your community and you vowed to hunt it down. What is it and what unique trail or sign does it leave behind anywhere it goes? So I'm a forest-dwelling individual. I'd like to think it was some sort of like sap monster and it like devours flesh. Is that gross enough? Mm-hmm. I think so. So flesh devouring sap monster. Lovely. And I think it leaves behind like residue from itself is like sap, but it's always mixed with like bones or remnants of the things that it has consumed. I didn't have to say any of that. Alrighty. Number two. Your first kill almost killed you too. What was it and what part of you was never the same? Alright, we're gonna go for drama here. My first kill almost killed me too. My best friend. I think that's what it was. I think there was some sort of pollution that came into where we lived and it affected people's minds And so they weren't themselves, but in trying to protect other people, got into a skirmish with them and ended up killing them. And so I think that my character has walls up and is, while like outgoing and happy-go-lucky in tenor of how they exist within the world, when it comes to interpersonal relationships, they are fine with knowing everything about somebody, or they're fine with like telling people things, but they're not gonna get close. They're going to keep most people at arm's length. You've traveled many dangerous lands, but what is the one place you refuse to go? Home. Home. Based off that last question, home. And then the 12th step is generating an experience. So, you know, you can use all these choices you've made and you can work with the DM to come up with two different experiences. An experience is a set of narrative words or phrases that represent the kinds of things your character has learned or become on their journey so far. Assign one plus two and the other plus one as their starting values, which is also kind of cool that you get to just like make up your own mechanics almost, and that your GM can use them and, or that you can use them and to, you know, I like that because that's one of the things in D&D with the backgrounds. And when you have that like background feature trait, it's sometimes super hard to actually use those. So I think this is a good modifier to that. This one is like a hobby and probably not helpful at all, but I like to think that there was like a river that ran through the forest where I lived. And so I learned how to sail small boats. I don't know why. I also think I know a lot of small, like, sleight of hand magic tricks. And I'm going to give the sailboating the plus one and the sleight of hand magic tricks plus two, because I think that could be used more often. We got to pick a name. We got to name this person. I'm feeling in non-binary. I'm feeling like they, he, pronoun-wise. I'm going to take a name off this list. I'm going to take Fable. Great. And then, you know, the last step is the creating your connections, which of course can't do because I don't have other people with me right now. But that is not where we're going to end today, because I have to read out the ranger feature. So every class has its own unique feature. And I probably should have read this out when I chose the class, but that's okay. I was going to do a ranger anyway. So to me, it didn't matter. You have ranger's focus. Spend hope and make an attack with your weapon. On a success, you temporarily put your ranger's focus on the target, along with doing damage from the attack. While they are your focus, you know precisely what direction they are in. All damage rolls you make against them add plus 1d6. On a missed attack you make against them, you may end Ranger's focus to re-roll your duality dice and take the new result. You may only hold Ranger's focus on one creature at a time, which sounds a lot like Hunter's Mark. As I said, a lot of this game seems to be trying to take D&D and simplify it and also make it more narrative focused, which I think a lot of people in this space have been looking to do. So maybe this will help a lot of people out. Also, duality dice, again, don't have the full rules. I'll say that every time. But when you make an action roll, you use duality dice. And what's super cool, I think, is that based off this picture alone, I do believe this is a D12 system. And I have been saying for 5 years now that you don't get to roll enough D12s ever. And so I am so excited for this because of that. That's my little ad and promotion of the D12 that I think is super cool. But we're not quite done, because on your Ranger Guidebook, it shows you what your level ups look like. On levels 2 through 4, you take an additional experience, which is super fun. You get to pick something during your time from level 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, and you get to pick one thing and put it down on your character sheet as a mechanic you get to use. That's super fun. Also, when you level up, you choose 2 available options from a list below and you mark them. So here are the options for rangers. You increase 2 unmarked character traits by plus 1 and mark them. You can permanently add 1 hit point slot. You can permanently add 1 stress slot. You increase 2 experiences by +1. You can increase your proficiency by +1. You permanently add 1 armor slot or take +1 to your evasion. Increase your major damage threshold by +2. Increase your minor damage threshold by +1. Then increase your severe damage threshold by +2 and choose a new domain card at your level or lower. So, for instance, the domain cards that everyone was sent for this playtest were only level 1s. So, when you get this deck, you will have all the leveled cards, which I believe the game goes up to level 10. So you get to do that levels 2 through 4, which is really cool because this reminds me of Powered by the Apocalypse advancement systems, where every time you advance, there's a list of things like this and you get a certain amount. For instance, most recently I was playing Thirsty Sword Lesbians, and so like you can only advance a stat +1 2 times, and then you can never take that advancement again and you have to choose a different one. And I just think that's kind of cool that they're using this. It's not exact, but it is definitely an adjacent and feels like it was inspired by that system of advancements. I think I might have read that wrong. At level 2, you take an additional experience. You don't do it every single level. You do take the other level ups, though. On levels 5 through 7, so at level 5, take an additional experience and clear all marks on character traits. When you level up, recorded on your character sheet, then choose 2 from the list below. So you can increase 2 unmarked character traits by +1 and mark them, which is the same as the previous ones. Permanently add 1 hit point slot, permanently add 1 stress slot, increase 2 experience by +1, increase your proficiency by +1, permanently add 1 armor slot or take +1 to your evasion, increase your major damage threshold. So those first 5, or first 6, were the same as the previous level ups. Increase your major damage threshold by +2 or severe damage threshold by +4. Increase your minor or major damage threshold by +1. Take an upgraded subclass card, or you can multiclass. You choose an additional class for your character. Then increase your damage thresholds, major by +1 and severe by +3. Then choose a new domain card at your level or lower. If your loadout is full, you may choose a card to swap. So that's why I think that this is a mix of a role-playing game and a card game. And that's why multiple characters in a party can't have the same choice of card they choose from their domain, because you only have a specific amount of cards in a loadout that you can use at a time, and as it says, you can swap them out at these levels, which is super interesting, I think. And then levels 6 through 10. At level 8, take an additional experience and clear all marks on character traits. Yeah, so the first 6, again, are the same as the previous. You just have more options to use them. For instance, the permanently add 1 hit point slot, you can only use that once from levels 2 to 4. You can use it twice from 5 to 7 and twice from 8 to 10. But then you can increase your severe damage threshold by +4, increase your major damage threshold by +1, take an upgraded subclass card, or multiclass. Then you increase your damage thresholds, minor by +1, major by +2, and severe by +4. Then choose a new domain deck card at your level or lower. If your loadout is full, you may choose a card to swap. So I think the deck, it's almost a deck building game as well as a RPG, which I think is super cool and super fun and super new. For me, I personally have not played a ton of deck building games, and I definitely haven't played one that was kind of mushed together in this sort of narrative story style. We got a ranger companion. You can choose any kind of animal as long as your GM agrees. And then you have companion traits. And it says that you can make an action roll to command your companion using intuition and take advantage if they are using one of their companion traits. So you get to mark 2. So I think it definitely, not I think, it definitely 100% depends on what animal you choose. For instance, if I chose a snake, I guess there are flying snakes. Okay, take that back. If I chose a badger, I wouldn't choose the fly trait. I guess you could if your GM agreed. I would use, for instance, the climb and the strike for a badger, because you get to choose 2 companion traits. They also have an evasion score. It starts at 10. They have a damage die. I don't know how you figure that one out, but they also have a stress counter. And there is a training thing on here. So whenever your character levels up, they level up in their little training aspect. And there are a few options here. So there's intelligence, which chooses an additional companion trait. Light in the dark, you can use this as an additional hope slot that your character can mark. Creature comfort, when you take time during a quiet moment to give your companion love and attention, you may both clear a stress or take hope. Armored, your armor score increases by +2 when your companion is in melee. Vicious, you step up your companion's damage die, d4 to d6, d6 to... Okay, I figured it out. Your damage die for your animal companion starts at d4. There we go. Answered that. Resilient, you add an additional stress slot. Bonded, when you mark your last hit point, your companion rushes to your side to comfort you. Roll a number of d6 equal to the available stress slots they have and mark them. On a 6, they get you up, clear your last hit point, and return to the scene. And lastly, aware. Increase your companion's evasion by +2. So those are all really, really cool. Granted, they seem that they would work well. I would need to, you know, actually play this character in a game to fully be able to tell if that is going to mechanically work. But for the purposes of playtesting a character creation module here, all of those sound really cool, and I would like my animal companion to have every single one of them. That's all I'm saying. Most specifically bonded and armored, though. I'll say those two are my faves. Probably bonded because I homebrewed an animal companion called Soul Companion, and it was kind of based off of the... I'm forgetting all of the words for this series, but the Golden Compass, it was kind of based off how those animal relationships with the humans work. It was really harsh. I don't know if it would ever be actually successful because it was a really harsh subclass to choose, as in, like, you couldn't be away from your animal companion without actively taking damage all the time. Death of your animal companion meant that you couldn't play that. Like, you couldn't get another animal companion. You just had to stop playing that subclass. So, you know, maybe good for some games, maybe not great for general fun times. But yeah, let's do a quick wrap up of this character that we've made today. A catfolk ranger named Fable, that goes by they, he pronouns, is a specifically a beastbound ranger with a badger animal companion, and also is a wildborn, so is from the woods, and because of that, knows a lot about this creepy sap monster that is pretty grotesque. And while you think that might be the worst thing, the actual worst thing is that after, you know, a life of learning some fun card and magic tricks and sailing sailboats down a river and living pretty carefree, they eventually were forced into a situation that made them kill their friend. That's sad. They fight with a short bow. They wear leather armor. Well, there we go. We've successfully made a Qatari ranger named Fable. I'd be super interested to, you know, fully try to, you know, mechanic out the rest of, I don't know where the class cards are, but the rest of all of this stuff. And there's some stuff that, you know, isn't quite clear yet, and I'm sure will be cleared up as people playtest and give feedback. And as more information comes out about the game, I believe it's still in its very, very early stages. If you listened or watched this entirety of me fumbling through this character creation aspect, good on you. Character creation is my favorite part of TTRPGs, so I'm super into this type of thing. Also, thank you for muddling through a show that wasn't supposed to premiere yet, and probably another one won't for a bit of time. That was, you know, this came up a little bit out of nowhere, and I wanted to give it a try. So that's all we're doing here today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on the Patreon, if you're not, you can be patreon.com/queerpg. Check out all of our new tiers that we've revamped this month for this year. We think they're super cool. We think they're super fun, and we'd love for you to go over there so you can come on our Discord and chat with us and hang out and all of that good stuff. Stay tuned, because we've got a new show, Candela Obscura, coming soon. Thanks, guys. Until next time.